This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Reed Wallach of Sports Illustrated Betting will join us. We will go over the conference tournaments. They are here. They are underway. A couple started. We had the Atlantic Suns start Sunday, and our Queens team advance. We'll get to them. A couple started Tuesday. A couple more Wednesday. And once these start, they just they keep on coming, which is really the best part. Really, as good a time of year as any. For anyone that's ever been to Vegas, people talk about go there during the NCAA tournament, the first round, which is a great time. But this week, this conference tournament week, this week into next week is almost better, just as good, just because the volume of games. There are just so many games in so many of these tournaments, and we will get to all of them with Reed here in a minute. We'll just start here. I'll start with some of them that stick out to me. Now, again, the bigger ones, the Big East, ACC, SEC, the major, the Power Five or whatever, that's going to be next week as usual. That's closer to the actual selection midweek. Next week, those usually start. Those are fun too. Those are fun because you know the teams, but for the most part, those teams are – the good teams are in. I mean, there's a handful of bubble teams here and there, but there's the drama is where the drama is with these single bid leagues, these smaller leagues where this is everything. This is their season, which you could say is a flaw and really not fair if you win the regular season and then you got to still prove it over a 3-day single elimination sample. There is certainly an element that's not fair, but these are money grabs. They like to have the revenue. They like to have the games on TV and people watch them and they are exciting, but this is where really what the drama is in these single bid leagues. A couple that jump out to me, and Queens is still 22-1. They beat Florida Gulf Coast on Monday, and they will now play Lipscomb in the semifinal. Don't have a line for that now, but 22-1. They already beat Lipscomb. Both teams shoot a million threes, 27 per game. Thereabouts for both teams, both in the top 50 or so in terms of three-point attempts per game. So Lipscomb shoots the three better, but in a one-game sample where everyone's chucking threes, if Queens is hot and Lipscomb isn't, Queens could find itself in a title game here against Lipscomb, the winner of the other game in the A-Sun here. So I still think 22-1 is bettable. They will obviously be a dog to Lipscomb. And there was confusion, too, about reseeding, not reseeding. A couple websites I checked after the game on Monday said they don't reseed, and then a couple said they did, and it turns out they do reseed, so they will get Lipscomb. We're probably going to have to beat them anyway, but it's one last chance at an upset. But I still like Queens at 22-1. Colgate in the Patriot is 4-1. I know this is not the same level of team in terms of the Patriot League that has dominated that league the last half decade or so, made the NCAA tournament, had some competitive games. Arkansas one year, there was a Wisconsin game. They played competitive. They usually run out of gas. They didn't win any of the games, but it's been a really dominant Patriot League team for Colgate. This is not the same team, but at 4-1, I still think they have the pedigree, and I just I don't love Bucknell at the top. They start out, Colgate does, with Army on Thursday night in the quarters. They should win that. They'll be heavily favored. If you win that, they play probably American in the second round. American beat them twice, but both those games were close. American's not that good of a team, so I wouldn't be shocked if Colgate can find its way into a final. And at 4-1, I do think that one is interesting. A couple more that jumped out to me. Omaha in the Summit is plus 450. They won the regular season title. Plus 450 for a regular season champ is a little long. That one jumped out to me, and if you have bonus bets or some of these, they give you a free bet, but you can only bet a little amount of money, and you really want to, what's the expression? Turn a toothpick into a lumberyard. You can parlay some of these and you get some monster payouts. And it's, probably not the best idea to just blindly parlay them or just parlay them in general. But if you really want to, hit like a 300-1, you parlay some of these just for fun. Again, free bets, things like that, things where, I know FanDuel sometimes gives you a free bet, but it's like a $10 max. Well, might as well use it on something that, you can really really do some damage on, that kind of thing. So you got some plus prices there. One that's interesting to me, we talked last year about Indiana State. If they didn't win the Missouri Valley, would they make the tournament? They were a bubble team. They did not get in. They lost in the final. Drake at 27-3. They are minus 110 odds on favorite to win the Missouri Valley. I'd be very concerned if they don't win this tournament, and I don't think they're going to, about them getting a bid, because they're 60 in KenPom. They don't have any great wins. And if you look a little closer, all right, 27-3, they play a slow tempo. They play a lot of boxes. They're 5-0 in overtime games. I don't know how sustainable that is. those games in the Missouri Valley in that building are always close and low scoring and kind of ugly. Those unders have done well, very well. Now, the cat's kind of out of the bag. People sort of know about that trend, but unders, first half unders have done extremely, extremely well in that conference. So if you are going to bet unders, and that starts on Thursday afternoon, and Thursday is where we finally start to get an incoming here of day games, which is really what makes this time of the year fun. It's just having games on wall to wall afternoon, things like that. Unders, if you like them, get to them early because those unders are going to get hit. That trend has kind of gotten out there now that unders in these games are good bets. So I could see the opening line, whatever it is for these games, say they open it like 136. That's the first number you see right away. It's probably going to close 132, 133, something like that, because it's pretty well known that these games go under. But I don't like Drake in this tournament. Bradley's plus 340, plus 310 in some spots. Northern Iowa plus 475. Our buddy Todd Wishnev said Illinois State, watch out for them at 16-1. I would be looking for somebody other than Drake. And again, if Drake does not get in, it's cruel, but it's the nature of this tournament. It's the nature of the committee. I don't think they're going to be putting in a three-loss or a four-loss Drake team that does not win their tournament. They just don't have a ton of good wins. And the 5-0 in overtime scares me where and they lost at home to Bradley pretty recently too. They've just kind of outperformed a lot of their numbers. They turn the ball over a lot. There are some flaws, some red flags here with this Drake team, and I would be looking for somebody else in this tournament. So Colgate, I still like Queens at 22-1, Omaha plus 450. What the hell? I'll trust our buddy Wishnev. How about Illinois State at 16-1? Not bad, not bad. And the thing that's fun about these tournaments, I mentioned the other day, you're not going to get all chalk. You're going to get some upsets. It's a one and done format. There's a lot of pressure on these teams that had good years. You come in as a one or a two seed, you kind of, oh man, we won the league. Now we got to win it all over again just to get to the tournament. That lends itself to I think these teams coming in kind of fast and loose, and especially these conferences like the Atlantic Sun Belt where they shoot a lot of threes. You know what? You throw up a 4 for 26 from three while somebody else goes 13 for 25 or something. Well, it's gonna be hard to win that game. It's like the turnover battle in football. The three is the great equalizer. So excited to talk to Reed Wallach about all of these tournaments. Maybe get his thoughts on his Mets. That is next. This Should a Bit More podcast. All right, we are back. Should a Bit More podcast. Let's talk some conference tournaments. Nobody better than our next guest. You can catch him at SI Betting, the early read. It's our buddy Reed Wallach. Reed, happy March, man. The best time of the year.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Always a busy time of year, great time of year. We're not, as we're recording this, we're not in like the daytime hoops yet, but we're getting closer to noon. Throw up the ESPN Plus, throw up the Fox Sports app. It's not really work, but work. It's a good time of year.
All right, since you brought it up, my audience is probably a bit tired of me bitching about it, but since you brought it up, I'm going to bring it up to you. You're a diehard with this stuff, just like I am. Have you noticed how much more backloaded the schedule is than it used to be? Like the Missouri Valley used to be like 2 weeks before the tournament, or that Sunday, that final was a week from the selection show. All of these, the Atlantic Sun is dragged out. Usually we've gotten like a couple title games. I remember years ago, it used to start the Saturday, 2 weeks before the selection, you get a bunch of title games and then they would come fast and furious. I feel like it's all backloaded now.
It's funny you say that because I was talking with somebody who, like a casual college basketball fan, and I'll make the story brief, but I was talking with somebody and they were talking about Auburn and Jahni Broome and how old like Auburn is and Broome is and everything. And I was like, yeah, like I remember vividly, I want to say it was like a full week before the real conference tournament even started, the OVC championship, where I had Jahni Broome and Morehead State to win the OVC or whatever. And I believe they ended up winning the game. And it was, I'm engaged to get married this summer. And I remember I was single at the time during that game. That's how long ago this all feels like. And I remember that game it was like a full week, maybe even 2 weeks before it was
Yes.
the OVC championship. So it's just funny. I think honestly, my answer would be related to these media deals and all these conferences trying to either get more exposure and there's more of a focus on like the 1 week and a half of conference tournament week as opposed to dragging it out with all these new with all the new flush of TV money coming in. I imagine it has something to do with that.
Yeah, and I think these teams probably don't want if I'm a conference, I don't want my champion winning Saturday 2 weeks before the selection. You got to wait another 4 or 5 days, but you might be not playing for 18 days or whatever. So I get
Yeah,
that. But
100%.
from a viewing standpoint, especially live betting, because I think there's some good live betting opportunities in these conference champion, these conference tournaments, because they foul so much more at the end. It's overwhelming to just have so many games all at once. But I guess I'll let you start conference tournaments. We got a bunch of odds up, bunch of tournaments up. What is your favorite one?
Well, so first, let's lay the land out here. It's only the mid-majors, really. There's no odds out on, like, obviously, we
Yes.
still have a full another week of action. So let me just pull up what we got here, just the current market. I would say, so what one team that I think is going to get a lot of buzz and is going to be the trendy team now, rightfully so, because the Sun Belt has adjusted their conference tournament structure to basically. And by the way, I completely agree. I think it makes total sense. You want the best representative in your conference to make the tournament. So the Sun Belt basically did it where the top teams get, like, I think it's three or four buys in a row that get you all the way to the semifinals. But there's one team that doesn't get the full buy, and that's App State. I think that they're sitting at like 20 to 1. You have Arkansas State, South Alabama, James Madison, and Troy, all between 2 and 4 to 1. And then it's a big drop off, and you got App State kind of in its own tier at 20 to 1. The only, I guess, dark horse there. Look, it's a long shot. I think they're going to be super trendy, mainly because I think a lot of the teams at the top are a little flawed. Ark State, really tough draw for them. They're going to take on South Alabama, a team that's given them some trouble during the regular season. James Madison, probably the best shot making and offense on paper. But I think that they could be in some trouble when you look at a team like Troy, that they could potentially run into, the best rebounding team in the Sun Belt. So a lot of that to say, App State, they're kind of hanging around there, really well balanced, really can give, coming up the pipe, basically, if they could run through their not as far of a bye, they could go on a bit of a run. So App State at 20 to 1 is one that has my eye. And then another league that is habitually in chaos. It's the Horizon League. Look, I think you could see a whole mess of different teams come out of this one. Oakland, if you remember last year, they upset Kentucky in the tournament after winning this league. They're 17 to 1. Definitely, again, they're going to play their style of ball. They have a morphing zone defense. They play super slow. They know how to, they're good in a tournament setting. But to me, the second choice, Milwaukee. Very, very slight second choice. They're plus 280. Robert Morris is the favorite at plus 260, but Milwaukee is an absolute terror to deal with. One of the best rebounding teams in the country. Now, they have some shot making issues, but they just win the shot volume battle so much that that's, like, I guess, more of a shorter shot that I like. So, Milwaukee, that tournament always gets crazy, but Milwaukee at plus 280 has my eye.
And we're recording this Tuesday, so some of these will be underway by the time people listen. But yeah, the Sun Belt one is crazy because those bottom four teams, to your point, they've really spread it out and bracketed the bracket, so to speak. Those bottom four teams, so Coastal Carolina, Louisiana Monroe, UL Lafayette, and there's one other team, Southern Miss. In order to win that tournament, they have to win seven games. I've never seen anything like that.
But I think it makes sense, though. We were just talking about these tournaments starting early, late. Like, I think that you got to give yourself every competitive advantage possible, and you don't, as much as it's nice for the Southern Misses of the world, or whatever team you want to say comes out of there. Like, you want that team to, it makes for a great story, but also they're gonna get to the tournament and just get squashed. So you'd rather put out your
Yes.
best team, which by the odds would be that's Arkansas State, but I think it could be App State. I think that they might be set up for a nice run here over the next week or so.
Yeah, and reward the regular season because I mean we're sitting here from November to March playing these games. It's that should be emphasized or rewarded more than just a couple of days here in March, as much as we all love it. All right, we'll just kind of bounce around. You can kind of give me your thoughts. You don't have to have a pick, obviously, or thought on anyone. We can pass, but we'll just go quickly here or as quick as you want to go. Patriot League, Bucknell's the short shot at plus 110. Any thoughts? Anyone you think is live or worth a bet?
Nothing much for me in this one. It's a league where this season I've been betting a lot of unders. Now, look, that's like completely blind, and I'm just kind of saying that, but I do think that you're seeing a lot of these teams really bloated. So I've been betting Patriot League unders quite a bit this season. If you want my bet stamp at RW33, they all go in there. But I know a lot of people are going to find themselves on Colgate. I believe they're the third choice, but this is not your big brother's Colgate team that has dominated this league over the last few years. They went 10-8 in league play, but this is a team that, I mean, they've been getting gashed on the glass. And while they play at a super fast tempo, they obviously are a team that's routinely won this. I think they've won like three or four of the last few. Their perimeter defense is an absolute sieve this year. So I think that people are going to flock to them, and I think it might be fool's gold.
I am one of those people. And not that I love it, but that's at least to me where, all right, I think they could beat Army. And then, okay, American, it's not like they're playing, Auburn or something in
Of
the second round.
course.
American beat them twice. And I'm not even going to buy into the whole that false narrative that, oh, it's hard to beat a team three times. But I do think if you're fairly evenly matched, I don't know. I just think they could beat American. Then who knows? You get in the title game and you have 4-1. You're in a,
Well,
you know, you're
so
safe.
another thing to think about with the Patriot League is that Colgate has routinely dominated, like the number one seed the last several years. I mean, last year, 16-2. The year before that, 17-1. Year before that, 16-2, so on and so forth. This year, 10-8. So this is not going to funnel through. The Patriot League doesn't run through Hamilton this year. So I am curious if that maybe plays a role in this after, years of hosting this tournament.
Yeah, it's a good point. And they've been, I would say, feisty in the tournament. They just never played enough defense. They had, I mean, one game against Texas. Texas just scored it well on them. Arkansas, I think they had like up big at the half one of those years, but then Arkansas just kind of rolled past them. So I agree. Ohio Valley, I have nothing on any of these teams. Southeast Missouri State is the short shot. Do you have anything of interest here?
Nothing really in this one.
Easy enough. Big South, High Point. Is we had Kev O'Neill from the Odds Breakers on the other day. He likes this High Point team. He thinks if and when they got in the tournament, they could, upset somebody. They are a heavy -250 favorite. Are you looking? I would imagine you're not looking at late 250 here. Do you have any thoughts on any of these teams?
So I agree that High Point's the worthy favorite, and it kind of makes this unbettable. This is a team that hasn't lost since the middle of January. I mean, it's really just an off like. This conference is full of just absolutely abhorrent offensive play. Just really, really gross offensive play. And when you look at a team like High Point, that's 13th in the country in effective field goal percentage, can dominate on the glass, gets to the free throw line. I mean, it's tough to see this team getting bounced when they have such a trump card that can't be topped by any team on either side of the ball. So, I mean, look, this is a High Point team that. I maybe they win a tournament game. I guess it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look, they're a top 100 team according to KenPom, but you go through like their non-con. No, they didn't play any tournament team really. But look, beat UAB at home, beat North Texas at home. They beat App State, who I just talked up as a potential Sun Belt contender on a neutral floor. So this team has won both inside and out of conference. So I kind of agree with them being laying such a chalk here in the tournament. So nothing for me there.
Summit, the short shot is St. Thomas, who is not even eligible to go. Omaha won the league in the regular season and is +450. That jumped out to me a little bit. Do you have anything on the Summit?
No, nothing on the Summit here. I probably am going to find myself playing overs in this league. I know, Will, you were mentioning about the fouls at the end. These are, I mean, you're going to see some high totals for sure, but
They play no defense, none of these teams.
you mix in the lack of defense with some late game shenanigans. I know, again, they're going to be big numbers, but sometimes the projection systems don't factor in the human element of this, and that's where you could see some real live bank scenarios. Maybe it's like even like a first half under, second half over type deal with
Yes.
if like the game is tight or something like that.
I was reading, I forget where I read it, that even though these teams are typically, no defense, a lot of high scoring games, this building where they have the conference tournament has been conducive to unders. I don't know if it's one of these big stadium, big backdrops things. So that's always, something to keep in mind too with these neutral courts of like, all right, Missouri Valley, which we'll get to, that's always typically been an under. So these shooting backdrops, something to keep in mind with these tournaments as well. We'll get to it. Missouri Valley, Drake -110. They're odds on. They're a good team. They slow the tempo. They are 5-0 in overtime. I don't know. I Bradley at +340 is interesting. Do you have anything in terms of this? And do you think if Drake does not win this tournament, they are going to be in the NCAAs because they are only 60 in KenPom. I know only three losses. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Drake's been getting a lot of love because, first of all, they're under new coach Ben McCollum. This is not the same Drake team from the last few years under DeVries. But so they have like a bunch of D2 transfers and stuff like that. So it's like a great story and all that. But I can't get to them running through Arch Madness. And I don't love Bradley either. I kind of like Northern Illinois, or I'm sorry, Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa. I think that, look, You mentioned Drake, one of their five overtime wins. One came just a few weeks ago at Northern Iowa. They won 64-58, but I think Northern Iowa is kind of like a Drake light in terms of how their team is kind of constructed, how they look to play. This is an elite 3-point shooting team. Now, look, they've been kind of bombed from three throughout the year, but so I'm kind of banking on some regression. But what I really like about this team is that the defensive structure, they force you to play late clock isolation style. And I think that in March Madness, where a lot of teams are kind of ball movement heavy and they try to move the ball around, a lot of creative sets, I think that Northern Iowa's defense might be ripe for a nice little run here. Bracket not amazing, but I do think despite some losses to Bradley and Drake, I think that maybe in a tournament setting, we could see this game kind of flip because it is an elite 3-point shooting team. If they could get some better 3-point variants, I think they could be ripe for a little run here. So I think that was what in the, I think they're like 470, I want to
Northern
say.
Iowa is plus 475.
Yeah, like I think that's like a worth a decent shot. I think either Bradley or Northern Iowa are decent looks to fade with Drake. I kind of went for the longer one with Northern Iowa.
This is typically one of the more boring conferences because it's just Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and they play in the title game, and there's no sleepers, there's no long shots, there's nothing to really dissect. Is this year any different?
Well, I guess so. I bet on Gonzaga both games against St. Mary's, and so the first game. Because I agree with you, I don't really think either anybody else is going to make a run in this one. So I do think we're set up for a Gonzaga St. Mary's championship game. It feels like if I now take St. Mary's, it's going to end up where Gonzaga wins. That being said, this could be just a kind of a talk about Gonzaga in general because I know a lot of people were on them in the preseason. I'm super out on this team. This team is a dead fade for me. I don't really buy into the. Oh, well, if they're on the eight line, like the one seed gets screwed there, they're stuck with Gonzaga. Like, I guess in theory, but like maybe Gonzaga is just not that very is not that great. We've seen now twice against St. Mary's really struggle to keep up with the ball movement on the perimeter, can't contain penetration and keep teams off the glass. So this Gonzaga defense, I think, is a real Achilles heel heading into March. St. Mary's, I don't know if I'm buying them as some deep tournament run either, but I think like this matchup might just be it might be a really good year for St. Mary's to match up with this Gonzaga team. So the Gales at plus 150, I don't mind a shot at that at all. I think I don't really see Gonzaga being favored. I don't really agree with it.
And I can't remember the A Sun ever doing this. This is weird where they started on Sunday with these playing games. Monday's the quarterfinals. Then we have a break till Thursday with the semis. It's Lipscomb, North Alabama, Jacksonville, and Queens. Lipscomb against Queens. And then the other two play. I gave out on Monday show Queens at 50-1. I actually didn't know they reseeded, which there was some debate because I looked at like three or four different websites. Two said one thing, two said the other, including the official conference website said they didn't reseed. So very confusing. I was hoping to get Queens in the title game against Lipscomb, but either way, they're gonna have to beat them. Do you have anything with these four teams left? Any thoughts?
Jacksonville kind of catch my eye at 12-1. But like nothing really. I would agree with the idea that Lipscomb is the top team, but at minus 210, I don't know. I think like maybe it doesn't get there, but Jacksonville, I mean, this is a sweet shooting offense that they have a really good big man in Guard McRae, rock solid. So I think that this Jacksonville team, I mean, this is a team that like just bombs. They could really bomb from three, top 40 in the country in 3-point percentage. So if they could run hot, I could see them doing it at a long price of 12-1. So don't mind Jacksonville. I think they're maybe a little bit closer to North Alabama than the price indicates.
Yeah, and all these teams take so many threes, which
Yeah.
leads itself in a single elimination scenario. It's high variance. Queens and Lipscomb both take 27 threes a game. So Queens doesn't shoot it well. Lipscomb does, but if you have a night where you're Queens, if you're hitting your shots, and the other team isn't, you could be here in the final, which I still think at 22-1. That I'm surprised it's that long. CAA, Wilmington, the short shot. Any bets here?
So this is an interesting one. I think Wilmington's the best team, so I don't have like a really compelling case for, hey, this team could get high or something. But I will say that Towson, I know they're plus 370. I think they're an intriguing team towards the top of the bracket. I mean, this is a team that you look throughout CAA play. I mean, they went 16-2. So, I know they're not rated as the best. But this is a team that's kind of blitzed all of competition. So I am interested to see if Towson plays super slow, they protect the ball, they win the shot volume battle. The issue is they can't really shoot. So if they could get the teams to play their style, then maybe they could slow this down and win the tournament. But it's a team worth keeping an eye on, but I agree with Wilmington being the favorite.
SoCon, Chattanooga plus 270, Samford plus 330. I think Greensboro and Wofford not far behind. ETSU, boy, this is really balanced based on really the top six teams. Unusual, even with ETSU, Furman all within 7-1. Do you have anything of interest here?
Super high variance tournament. Chattanooga, who was kind of left for dead in the preseason, they end up winning the regular season title like 12-1 pre-flop to like win the regular season title. So now they come in as a favorite, they're the number one seed. Super potent offense. But again, like this is a super high variance league. I don't know if I see them going all the way here. Samford, I think at 4-1 is worth a decent look. And I mean Furman, routinely having success here at plus 850, but this team is not as good as prior year. So I would say Samford has my eye at 4-1.
Big Sky, Northern Colorado and Montana are your short shots. Any interest in this one?
I got nothing out west for you, Will.
We move along. The Southland, McNeese minus 500. I mean, it's you can't obviously lay the minus 500. Is that a justified price? Is there anybody worth betting?
No, McNeese is like much the best in this conference. They're gonna absolutely blitz everyone, and I'm interested to see who they get matched up
Me
against
too.
because much matched up against in the NCAA tournament. Because last year this was a really trendy team
They
going
got
into
killed.
March, and they faced Gonzaga and got absolutely run off the floor. So again, team that you're gonna see like for people listening that are just kind of ramping up and stuff, like you're gonna hear a lot about McNeese. This team is really unbelievable. Will Wade's their coach, but I think it's a lot of matchup dependent there.
Do you have a Final Four national title kind of sleeper? 2 years ago was FAU, last year was NC State. I know UC San Diego is going to be, they're really good. They're going to be trendy. So I don't even know. I mean, you can call them a sleeper, but that's going to be, it's always the team. No, not everyone's picking. Like nobody was picking NC State last year. So I feel like UC San Diego doesn't qualify. Do you have anybody in mind?
I'm looking at like the final four odds to see if like maybe one jumps out because the ones I have are kind of I don't want to say like they're like trendy, but I think like mine aren't like some super duper kind of crazy take. On UC San Diego, I think I bet them the last like 14 games, and I think they're 13-1 against the spread or something. I mean, I bet them like every single week, Thursdays and Saturdays. It's like death taxes. Bet UC San Diego. This is like. Seems an absolute machine. It probably is the right thing to do for me to take them to go to the Final Four because I've been betting them all season, but we'll see if I end up getting there. One team that has my eye, I think this Clemson team is better than last year's team that went to the Elite Eight. They replaced PJ Hall with Victor Locken, who I think maybe isn't the high volume 3-point shooter that PJ Hall was, but I think he's a much better rim protector. And we've seen Hunter really come into his own. We've seen Shefflin continue to develop. I think that this team is really good. They play super slow. They're really good from three, so they can get teams to play their game. They're still being priced like 14-1. I think they're like rock solid. And I know the ACC isn't as strong as it's been in the past, but we have now seen. Because the ACC has been trending down for several years now, yet come tournament time, it really seems like the top tends to overperform. And we've seen more like the SEC and Big Ten that they get in 10 teams, 11 teams, whatever. I mean, it's like ridiculous. But those conferences seem to underperform. That's kind of anecdotal, but I mean, you look, ACC teams are regularly going to the Final Four, regularly going to the Elite Eight. So, I think Clemson might be primed for another deep run here in March on like that five line. So I think it's a well-balanced team. They're running really hot from three. They play a pretty distinct style of basketball. So I think Clemson in terms of like the double-digit odds to make a run, I could see a case for them for sure.
I'm reluctant to give you credit because I don't want to jinx it, but you texted me maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, and I believe I mentioned this on the podcast at the time. Malik Beasley, sixth man of the year, is like 25, 30-1. It's down to like 2-1. It was plus 180 yesterday. Is that bet going to get home? Is there are any other NBA award bets worth taking right now?
Yeah, I could talk some NBA awards. Beasley, look, if we're going just straight resume, I think Beasley is the nuts in this market. He is currently leading the NBA in 3 points made coming off, just coming off, like he's coming off the bench and he's leading the NBA in threes. He has more than Steph Curry. He has three more than Ant Edwards, who's in second. So I think he's a prototypical sixth man. So this is a really good story for Detroit. I think he could get home. I would say the one thing in his way is the Boston media cycle kind of hyping up Peyton Pritchard. But we're currently on March 4th. There hasn't been a ton of like really high level NBA awards content out there. So early season, Peyton Pritchard was the guy. He's kind of cooled off. So we'll see if that really maintains. Beasley, he's plus 160. I honestly think like he should be like close to like plus 120 at this point. Pritchard, short favorite, and then like Naz Reid, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter should all be in like the 15 to 20 to 1 range. So I think there's maybe a little bit more meat on the bone for Beasley, but like if this keeps up, I think he's gonna ship it home.
How many wins for the Mets?
Mid-80s. Like I think it
Oh.
could be a trying regular season, and then they really gear up and are buyers at the deadline. That kind of puts them on a good path. But like, division's so tough. Nats are gonna be better. There's really only one layup in the division. That's the Marlins. So like, I'll say
Marlins
let's
give them
do.
a hard time too. They have a hard time.
Yeah,
They play some weird
what
games with the Marlins.
I would say, like, this is a cop out, but like, I'll say like 87 wins,
Okay.
like solid wild card, and then we see what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean the pitching, especially like Senga's been injury prone in the past, supposedly in Japan or whatever, and hurt last year. You can survive no month or 6 weeks without Manaea. You can kind of piece it together, but you're in that position where if Senga goes down or one more injury, and the Petersons of the world, the
Big
Griffin
deal.
Cannings, it's just not like championship level pitching. They're gonna need Holmes was thought of as like all right, take a shot on him. They're gonna kind of be relying on Clay Holmes.
Yeah, like I'm looking, their win total's at 90.5.
It's a good lineup. It's a really good lineup, and the bullpen's pretty good.
Yeah, I would probably lean towards the under just because of some pitching depth concerns, and I could see maybe some floundering, some like 5 and 7 stretches, some like couple series losses here and there. But like, I still think that this team is they have enough in the cupboard to make a run in July and get hot and take over.
Yeah, to me, Sandy Alcantara is a perfect like match. See that he's healthy, see that he can establish
I
himself,
mean,
then trade for
yeah,
him, and as
that would
soon as
rock.
possible. And I don't think Soto. Sometimes these guys, especially coming to New York, they sign the big contract. They have those, that first month where they're getting booed and they're pressing. I don't think Soto will have that just because he's already played in New York, and his game is just so like slump free. Because he walks, he gets good at bats. It's hard for him to go into slump just because he's such a polished player
There
on
will be no
offense.
booing Juan Soto at Citi Field. I can assure you that. I don't think that's on. I don't care if he starts, batting 150 for the first month. I think that everyone will give him the benefit of the doubt.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Although New York fans, Mets fans, we're you never know, but it would have to be really bad for an extended period of time. All right, Reed, appreciate it, man. Good luck. Enjoy the madness. This is gonna be a lot of fun. Hopefully we get you on again soon. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on as always. Great time of year. Always happy to do it. You can find me on Twitter at Reed Wallach. I'll be posting all my college hoops plays for the next month and I guess beyond over on my Betstamp at RW33. So make sure you check that out. And you can check out my work over on Sports Illustrated Betting. Just go to Sports Illustrated and the betting tab should be on the top.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Thanks to Reed Wall. Appreciate you guys listen, rate, review, subscribe. Be back Friday. See you then.